QAnon is now the most prolific online conspiracy theory of the 21st century. None of their predictions came true, Q has vanished, and the storm never came. But QAnon is still alive. I'm Jake Hanrahan, and this is Series 2 of Q Clearance, a podcast shedding light on the ongoing QAnon conspiracy theory. This is a production of Coup d'Etat Media and iHeartRadio. In today's episode, we're going to be looking at what Jim and Ron Watkins did next. If you don't know those two names, please, please go and listen to Series 1. But basically, that's who I think, through all this research and talking to people, that's who I think was ultimately running QAnon, writing the drops, posting them out, spreading it everywhere. I think Jim and Ron Watkins were behind it. So do many, many different people. Now, to see what they were doing next, we're going to speak to Julian Field from the excellent QAnon Anonymous podcast. He's going to be speaking to us about how Jim and Ron sort of moved off into other grifts after Q stopped posting. Remember, they were the ones running the boards that QAnon posted on. So, Julian, just for our listeners, maybe you can give us a quick recap on who Ron and Jim Watkins are. Obviously, they've not had as much attention since the election didn't bring Trump back.
Yeah, so Jim has a history in the army, and he went on to become a self-styled king of porn. And so he made a lot of money, basically, unblurring Japanese genitals and then reselling that from the Philippines to the Japanese, circumventing their censorship laws. So he made a lot of money doing that. His son grows up in that environment. I'd say Jim Watkins is like the quintessential sex tourist kind of guy, just a kind of sleazebag who lives abroad and has a million shell companies. And his son, I think, got pilled online, red-pilled, you know, on like 4chan and 8chan and stuff. And they both took an interest to image boards. And so, you know, they've kind of wrestled control of a few image boards from people. They're accused of stealing one from Nakamura. And they ended up with 8chan, which they took from the creator of it, Frederick Brennan. And, you know, as a result, they had control over the entire ecosystem in which Q verified itself and also posted. So many now, you know, with the information that came out with the HBO documentary and other pieces of evidence, many people believe that Ron has at least posted as Q a few times, if not a lot, once, you know, Q moved to the specific message boards or the specific channels on 8chan that basically allowed Ron to become the sole verifier for Q. And that's what, at the end of the day, we have real proof of, is that they're custodians of Q. They invented the trip code that would allow Q to verify who they were from just being an anon that wasn't really verifiable. And so now Q stopped posting, and of course, you know, they've denied it through and through that you know they were involved in that. But I think all eyes are definitely on them. And yeah, we could get into it a little later, but they are no longer in the best of positions. You know, they used to run a pig farm together, and that's gone. You know, so I think they're both. Ron is now in Japan, and his father is in the United States. Last I checked, because the Philippines did not grant him naturalization.
Right, yeah. And, you know, as you said, I also think that's definitely fair. Like, I think it's definitely possible, very, very highly possible, that Jim and Ron were running QAnon. I would put money on it, you know what I'm saying? I think they were probably writing a lot of the drops as well, if not all of them. And a lot of people have kind of come to this realization, as you have on your podcast. And like you said, in that HBO documentary, there's a lot more that kind of opened the eyes to that. So, as you said, they're no longer in the Philippines, and they're not really on the QAnon circuit anymore as much as they were. So what happened? Like, what do they do next? What was the kind of fallout for them after, obviously, Trump didn't get in? And I think in December or November last year, Q just stopped posting.
Well, the father is an interesting figure because he's tried to become essentially a figure of, you know, right-wing information through the Goldwater, which was his website before Q was even a thing. And so he's been, you know, wanting to be a disinformation, like, YouTuber, essentially, and failing over and over at attracting an audience because he's not very good at reading scripts. He's also, you know, he just makes you shudder just watching and listening to him. There's very little charisma there. But The Sun has actually had more success. And what he did, even in the lead up to the election, when Q is still technically posting, he built his own kind of Twitter presence and became a central figure in the claim that, you know, the vote was rigged and all of these kind of efforts to undermine the results as they came in for the United States presidential election. And so he was successful until, you know, it was revealed that he was using one of these, like, boosting tools from this white right-wing operative, and he was eventually kicked off of Twitter. He has rebuilt on Telegram and kind of pivoted a little bit. Not in terms of sharing conspiracy theories. He's still sharing them hardcore, you know, like the CCP, you know, they are responsible for the rigged election. He even dabbled in, like, basically a new version of adrenochrome, a development of that conspiracy theory.
A new adrenochrome. Sorry, yeah. Please, what?
It was like adrenocorticoid or something like that. So he was, like, you know, trying to write deep lore on his on his adrenochrome theory. And then now he's kind of, like, settled in. And one of the weirder moves that he's had is he started this thing called Alien Leaks, which essentially promises to be the WikiLeaks for, you know, what they call disclosure, you know, like revealing the technologies or the aliens or the government projects or whatever. And he started it with one of the dumbest guys. It has to be another bit, another troll. Because this guy, Tony Tiora, is just a pure dunce. And they're just kind of bumbling around on that podcast, talking about stuff. Alien Leaks has already been accused of essentially just republishing public documents and then making little blog posts about what you should think of them. But they're, like, already public and have been declassified long ago. You know, their first thing was that, I don't know if you've ever read, it's a pretty fun document. It's like that CIA thing about remote viewing.
Yeah, so they basically, there's a great book called The Men Who Stare at Goats, written kind of about that whole thing by John Ronson. And it was essentially like the CIA kind of thinking, does this work? Could this work? And just, like, plowing a load of money into, like, a stupid project, right? Like, it didn't work or anything.
Yeah, which wouldn't be the first time. But right. Yeah, so he releases that, like, look at this. Like, this is incredible. We're leaking stuff. I'm just like Julian Assange. But really, he's had very little attention. And but it is it's entertaining to listen to Tony Tiora, you know, do, like, sub Joe Rogan commentary while Ron Watkins, you know, puts out videos where he's wearing, like, body armor and like a cowboy hat and, like, some sort of kimono.
Why?
Honestly, him and his dad have spent so much time streaming and creating crap content. I mean, Jim Sr. just did a few videos on trying to cure his own ham. It looked like absolute shit. And he put the worst condiments on it. It was just a horrifying spectacle to watch him do that kind of stuff. But I think their whole thing is, you know, that new thing for censorship where it's like the first 2 minutes or 3 minutes of the video won't have anything weird in it. And then they'll be like, okay, now we can talk about QAnon or something like that. I feel like that's their approach to all their communications. Just put out weird, wacky white noise. In a way, it's a bit like Operation Mindfuck. You know, the idea that, if you always look like you're clowning, if you always look like it's a bit, if it's very hard to take you seriously because you're so ridiculous, then when you really want to do an op, when you really want to get something done, it also looks ridiculous. And they think it disarms the enemy. You know, I'm sure they fucking would quote Sun Tzu or some dumb shit. But yeah, essentially, like, that's what they do. They just pump the air full of nonsense. They hire some of the dumbest possible people. Like, they must have picked them because they're perfect patsies. And so, yeah, that's just their path right now. I think it hurts a little bit. They never made any money. They can't really say it's them, even though Ron, like, kind of still revels in the kind of knowledge of others that, you know, they come to him for that stuff. But, you know, there's not that much payout in the end. And January 6th wasn't quite the effort post I think they wanted it to be. So it's a bit of an uncertain future for those two, but I can't imagine they won't be getting up to more bad stuff. I mean, they've had so many. I don't know if you're familiar with Susu Coin. They took a fork of an existing cryptocurrency. And so they just took like an existing platform and they kind of customized it and made a new one. And they were like, okay, so this is Susu Coin and it's going to be a way to post and never be censored because the posts will be text, in the transactions of the blockchain or whatever. So it was going to make like essentially a decentralized message board that would you could never take down, like, you know, it was the Jews or whatever post they want to put up. And it never really took off, but they had the mascot for it was a clearly like underage kind of lolly character. And they made a whole bio for her where they're like, she's 21 and like making all these jokes and stuff. So it's just like always like that, right? You know, Jim makes a company called Is It Wet Yet? Jim runs a show on his terrible Tora 3 or Tiger Network or whatever it's called. Their kind of attempt at doing a streaming / YouTube platform. And his show is called like the shit, Ahoy, the Ship Show. Like everything is dumb. It's like, you know, he dresses up in like stupid costumes or will wear like a Sesame Street t-shirt and just talk about that. And then he'll, you know, even though he was never really Christian in any way, by any accounts, he's, you know, reading, the Bible and singing, songs and stuff. It's just bizarre, honestly. They're real creepy.
Yeah, always been creepy. And I think it's worth mentioning as well, for a time, there was literally child sexual abuse images being shared on one of Jim and Ron's message boards, right?
Oh, yeah. There were whole communities dedicated to that kind of stuff. That was very common on almost all Chan boards. 4chan had issues with it. Certainly 8chan, with its even more lax rules, you know, had issues with that. And then, of course, they used to run like this big porn empire in which they would use endless keywords generated probably automatically. But the result is that some of Jim's old websites like would have extensions that would be basically references to child pornography. So, you know, they're not squeamish. You know, Ron rolls around in his car playing porn on the screen in his car. And, you know, the dad is the ex-king of porn. So, you know, I don't really buy their rebrand as Christian patriots, but I don't think that either of them are particularly horrified by child pornography, nor were they or are they about, you know, extreme neo-Nazis doing actual, what they call effort posting, like basically preparing for an operation where you would actually hurt or kill people and having people cheer you on. You know, that was a recurring problem with their boards as well.
Yeah, very, very disgusting. So we've got Jim, he's curing ham on YouTube. He's trying to launch his weird far-right Christian fundamentalist type streaming platform. His son Ron is now dabbling in alien leaks and was quite a big proponent saying that the voting machines were rigged during the election. They've also started up this weird cryptocurrency. Have they said anything about QAnon? Have they kind of just distanced themselves from it? How have they dealt with all that and the fallout from it?
Well, you know, as in the HBO documentary, they just keep saying, we are not. I am not QAnon, you know, and Ron, even in that latest video, which is, I have to admit, shot quite well, got some soft light going. It feels like maybe, I don't know, probably just a filter at this point with technology, but it's got a certain je ne sais quoi, like you're looking at the water, it's peaceful, there's trees, and then he's dressed like an absolute moron, like, you know, kind of on a rock, and saying stuff like, you know, I am not Q, I'm not QAnon. So I think that's the bit that they're going to stick with. It's just like, it wasn't us. But I think they also desperately want people to know that they had power briefly, even, or that they, you know, that they did this, that they successfully did possibly the biggest troll in history.
Yeah, I think. What makes you think that? What makes you think that they want people to know? Is it the kind of, I'll be honest, I've seen some of the videos and it does feel almost as if they're being like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, it wasn't us. You know what I mean? What do you think?
I think that they do, and they also know that obviously, you know, their admission of it would be tawdry and messy, but really there's no law that they can be prosecuted under. They were always you know, operating essentially within American law due to the way free speech works over here and other such things. So, you know, it's like, I think they feel safe. They feel safe. Jim feels backed by history. He often makes like long soliloquizing fucking speeches where he's talking about, you know, ancient colonial raiders and how it was actually great that they did genocide and stuff. So it's like he feels like, you know what, I have the weight of history behind me and it didn't happen this time, but at least we've accelerated what we're looking for, which I believe is, you know, the kind of ethno-state race war style endpoint for them.
Yeah, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me from what they say and what they've been behind and what they've allowed to kind of breed on their platforms. I think that's pretty accurate. So that's what Jim and Ron got up to next. In terms of QAnon, where do you see all this heading? You know, like you guys have been doing this a lot longer than me. You've delved deep, deep into this. From your point of view, where do you see QAnon heading right now? I know you can't, you know, predict the future, but you must have some idea.
Well, you know, I mean, QAnon was always decentralized, and I think that that was the model that allowed it to proliferate so well, is that the people really carrying the signal for most most of those coming into the movement have been interpreters or QTubers and all of this stuff. So, you know, they all start their own grifts. They are fighting new voices like Ghost Ezra, who's like an open neo-Nazi, essentially, at this point, and you know, we don't know who that person is, and they've gathered a big following on Telegram. So there's jealousy, there's breaking apart. But for the beliefs, I like to see it in a different way because, you know, again, there's no leader to this movement. Q is basically a non-person, you know, just it's a way of being, it's a way of thinking. And the people who are done with this, some of them will go, okay, I was duped, but very few. Most people will double down or continue to have the beliefs that were under the umbrella of QAnon, even though they won't use the name anymore. You know, a perfect example is recently at CPAC, you know, a journalist, Zach Petrizzo, would kind of like, he was going up to people with Q t-shirts because he was seeing them walking around. And one time, you know, one of the people was this woman wearing this big Q t-shirt. He goes up to her with the mic and she's just covering up the t-shirt and just running away, you know? So it's like weird because they want to be like, we are QAnon, but they know also, and they've been told by Q, that it looks bad at this point. So I think we're going to see a proliferation of the same Bircherite, far-right, like anti-communist fever dream shit, and the same kind of like racist, xenophobic, you know, the whole, you know, anti-Semitic, obviously. All of these conspiracy theories will continue. Right now, they are anyone's to marshal. If Trump comes back or whoever, whatever figure is able to kind of electrify the right, I think what we know now is that you can't ignore these people, that you now have a part of the GOP base that believe these things, whether you label them as QAnon or not, and believe new things that they're making up after Q stopped posted, that they're all kind of crowdsourcing. They've learned, it's like teach a man to fish, you know? Q taught them to fish.
Q taught them how to fish. I think that is one of the best ways of summing up how Ron and Jim Watkins very likely assembled the QAnon army and sent them off into the world. Now they know how to fish, they know how to catch the fishes, they know how to keep it moving. Just because Q is no longer there posting doesn't mean that this problem has gone away. And as we've mentioned several times already in this series, and as Julian just mentioned there, things are becoming more and more extreme. Some of the top QAnon influencers are becoming outright neo-Nazis, and others that claim not to be are almost unknowingly dabbling in these kind of conspiracy theories also. QAnon is a big problem in America, but it's also spread all across the world, specifically to Europe. Somewhere you might not imagine it taking root, though, is Japan. QAnon has spread to Japan, and it could be a very serious issue. We'll be talking about that in the next episode. Q Clearance is brought to you by iHeartRadio and Coup d'Etat Media. I'm Jake Hanrahan. You can find me online at Jake_Hanrahan. That's HANRAHAN. You can get Q Clearance merch at darkwash.net. This episode was produced by myself with fact-checking and additional research by Sarah Hightower. The music is by Sam Black, and the sound was mixed by Thomas Griffin at Splicing Block.